You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
You're listening to the Golf Unfiltered Podcast, your source for in-depth interviews with the biggest names, brands, and personalities in golf. Our mission? To keep you informed and help you enjoy the game even more.
Happy Masters Monday. That's my new song. It's the Golf Unfiltered Podcast, and we got the full team here. We've got Nikki, we've got Dan, and we've got Trevor. Hi everyone. It's nice to see you all again.
Hello, friends.
I was going to say that.
Nikki beat me to it. Although it's only fitting that Nikki be the one to say that since
you. Well, I was going to, yeah, I mean, first and foremost, couple things. One, Nikki, congratulations on a great Memoirs for Magnolia Lane season 3. Unbelievable guests.
Thank you.
A lot of great feedback. I will also say that we are now the unofficial co-hosts of the Matthew Lawrence show from Kentucky. So I think we've all been on it. Nikki, also congratulations on your 25th Masters.
Yes. Yes. It was my 25th wow. Masters this year. I didn't even realize it until the other day. Someone asked me, like, they saw all the pins on Jonathan's hat and we were there and they're like, oh, it's obviously not your first time. We said no, and they were like, oh, how many is it? And had to do math. And then it was like, oh, wow, it's 25. And so, yeah, and for Jonathan, it was his 10th this year. So
that's wild.
Nice.
Yeah.
Wild, wild, wild. That's so awesome. Well, and it was a good one. And obviously, folks listening to this and watching on YouTube, be sure to follow us all over social media at Golf Unfiltered. Let me throw that button on the screen here. And we're going to talk about the Masters, obviously. It was a really exciting tournament, to say the least. Trevor, you and I were talking a little bit before we got going here and the others joined the room. The tournament itself was exciting. We're going to cover a bunch of things. Scottie Scheffler wins his second green jacket. Scottie Scheffler, Trevor, an exciting champion? I don't know. Golf robot, maybe?
Yes to all of that. I think, well, he's certainly doing things that we haven't seen since Tiger Woods, right? So that the pure golf of it is exciting. Kind of opposite ends of the spectrum when it comes to charisma and Tiger Woods. So, but you know what? He deserves it. He's playing better than anybody else in the world, except for maybe Nelly Korda.
Maybe. Oh, good call. Going for four in a row.
You know, so we're seeing dominant golf on both tours there. But yeah, I mean, it's just it was kind of boring down the stretch. I mean, you just expect him to hit fairways, put it close, and at very least two putt, right? Because he's not a fantastic putter. It took a lot of the drama out when my 6-year-old son saw that he was in the lead. He said, "It's over," and he was right. I mean, it just. Hey. And it kind of similar to 2019 with Tiger, the other guys kind of faded, you know? And I don't know if that's a reaction to just not being able to meet the moment of what Scottie Scheffler's doing, or they just, you know, had their worst moments at the worst possible time. You know, I don't know if it's directly related to Scottie, but certainly seems like you could make a case for that.
It definitely seems to be that way almost every year, right? Like it gets to be jumbled and bunched together about around the 10th tee, and then suddenly somebody either hits it into Race Creek or whatever happens. But Dan, you were watching, of course, as we all were. First of all, how'd you do with your degenerate side? I think it was rough. I think he's just shaking his head.
You and I were talking separately offline about not a very good weekend for us. We had a good NCAA tournament. We did some damage there.
Thank God.
I was just saying, I think they might have got almost all of it back from me this weekend between the Masters and some other just unluckiness of some other stuff involving baseball and hockey and whatnot. Victor Hovland didn't even make the cut. So I guess thanks for not piling on right out of the gate. Hey. Was that your roundabout way of getting to it, Adam? But
JT didn't either, so there's no hate.
Yeah,
no, JT.
Know,
I mean, woo,
I also thought I was going to be smarter than everyone else, which the whole reason why Vegas exists is because nobody's smarter than Vegas. But thought I was going to be smarter than everyone else with my Brooks will finish the best among all the live golfers ticket, because on Wednesday, you know, and Tuesday, that seemed like it was a really good one to have. And then Thursday happened, and, you know, just like with Victor. So, yeah, you know, Scotty basically ran away with it on the back nine, like we talked about. I think I sent the Vince Carter gif out around hole 12 or 13 is pretty much it at that point, when it was pretty clear that nothing was going to happen anymore. And then, you know, nothing did happen. To the point of the charismaticness, he's never been an overly exciting quote in the first place, but I do also happen to wonder, particularly yesterday, was he even a little bit more lackluster than normal when it came to his meeting with the media and his quotes, just because he knew that he wanted to get out and get home as quickly as humanly possible. And I think maybe him in his mind is, if I can keep these answers as short and to the point as possible, so there's no need for follow-ups or nobody wants to ask me anything more, then I can just get the hell out of here. And so I did kind of get that feeling too of, he's never been the best of quotes, but also like the fact that he got through 18 yesterday and was able to stay focused long enough to get through the rest of the round, it was actually pretty impressive to me, because I think any of us in that spot, if we knew what was going on back home, were, you know, in theory, our wives could be at any moment, like it would be tough to concentrate on even just the most mundane of tasks. And then he goes out and wins the Masters. So yeah, I can't blame him when he probably just wanted to get on the plane and get out of there as quickly as humanly possible.
Well, they talked about, like, I think everyone was under the assumption that it was like an at any moment. And I know everyone was making jokes about it. And, you know, I think I remember who said it. It might have been Kyle Porter, who was like, the only person who can stop Scottie Scheffler now is Meredith Scheffler. Like, but which is funny. But I thought that she wasn't even due until like the end of the month, which, like, yeah, it's still close. I mean, like, you're still pretty far along, and, you know, with babies, anything can happen. But like, I thought that like it wasn't as like a, like the phone call's coming at any second type of situation as everyone is thinking that it was.
Right.
Not to say that he still didn't want to get home, like, you know, that he didn't miss his wife. And, you know, he made a comment about how like he had to make breakfast for himself for the first time, which, you know, says a lot about, you know, a grown man. But
I mean,
like, I think, you know, he's a family man. Obviously he does want to get home. He does miss his wife. That's the first tournament he's ever won without her there. And I'm sure that that was sad for him, but I still, on the baby side of things, I don't think she was like as close to the wire as people thought that she was. Right. Not that it didn't make for some fun social media though.
Sure. Definitely. And you, Nikki, were among the four of us were on site, and you got to experience a lot of different flavors of Augusta this week. I mean, because that was another big story, was the weather, the wind, certainly. Was it, so you were there Wednesday, and were you there a second day of the week or no?
No, the Sunday for the drive, chip, and putt, and then Wednesday for the par three.
Got it. And so being on site, being on property, and what was it like in terms of, I don't want to go so corny and say like the aura of everything around there, but it's always an exciting time when you get to Augusta National, of course, and the players are out there. Everyone is now together for the first time, being, you know, the two tours together. What did it feel like? What was the energy around the property?
I mean, honestly, like it didn't, to me, it never felt like oh, those are the live guys. Those are the like PGA guys. And it felt a little bit like that last year, but this year there wasn't as much of it. I think in the par three, I want to say like Brooks and Jenna played with Max and his wife, and I don't remember who else was in their group. But like, so it wasn't so much like last year, it was kind of very clear divide of like, oh, this group coming through the par three is like, is was all LIV people grouped together. Mm-hmm. And there, you know, this year Sergio and Patrick Reed played together. But there, it was a little more mixed up, you know, like Bubba mm-hmm. played with Ben Crenshaw, I think, and like some other, which is, you know, strange, but then it was, you know, there was like a good mix of it, and it didn't seem as, you know, like the hard lines. You know, we saw DJ was playing with Colin, you know, on mm-hmm. the par three. And so it was like, there was just a good mix. I don't think it's as much of a, you know, us versus them feeling anymore. I think that comes from the outside, at least it seems to. Now I was not there when, actually, no, I was there. Greg Norman was there on the day I was there. We just did not see him. But so I didn't get the, like feeling of, you know, the glares he was giving or any of that. So, cause we didn't see him until afterwards when we saw the photos of him around, but yeah. I don't know. I just didn't get that. But at the same time, I'm getting on my Augusta soapbox a little bit, but Augusta just does this thing where it like, it transcends all of that a little bit. Like, I mean, you may have that feeling at Pinehurst. You may have that feeling in Valhalla. But I think Augusta, just because of what it is and its history and the, like, because of how special it is, it kind of, it rises above all of that. And I think the people and the players know that and respect it for what it is, and they are willing to rise above it. And whether, if they have issues still, they're willing to kind of squash it. And, you know, yeah. Although the strangest thing that I saw the whole time was Bryson carrying that post around. But to be honest, that's not a, like a LIV thing. That's just Bryson being a goober. And he was a goober before he went to LIV, though. So.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you actually get to see that live? Like, did you see him?
We were home by then. I wish. Gosh. I wish.
Such an interesting. So there were a lot of those things, as there is every year. There's fun moments like that throughout the tournament. Bryson, of course, had many fun moments. You know, everything from his irons, everything from carrying the sign. I agree with you too. I mean, even just as an observer watching on television, I didn't get the sense that there was this divisiveness as perhaps we had seen in previous years, which was a nice, I'll be honest, it was nice. It was nice to kind of see that. And I mean, yeah, John Rahm's out there wearing his Thundercats looking logo, and there were, you know, those things out there, but for the most part, logo. it seemed to be good. Go ahead, Dan.
One thing I did know, and you alluded to it, unlike last year, this year it was pretty, I don't say pretty clear, but with the exception of Brooks, which we can get into more if we want, all the LIV guys were wearing their LIV team gear, like head to toe. I don't remember last year at the Masters, all of them doing that. I know there were some that did, but I think with the exception of Brooks, all of them were in their full team, the shirts, hats, pullovers when it was cold, everything. So I think that while, yes, the LIV versus tour storyline wasn't there, I think that on the actual visuals of it, it was there. It was more pronounced this year than it was last year, just from the standpoint that all the LIV guys were absolutely head to toe in their team gear.
Well, and somebody with predominant as far as apparel, Trevor, I know you're going to buy the Melbourne sweater vest that Jason Day, I mean, that's got you written all over it.
The band at Augusta National sweater vest. Yeah, I mean, that's got to be a hot item right now. Or the cargo. I've been waiting patiently for cargo pants to come back, and we might have our moment.
Because you're ready, man. You got them in your closet. You ready to go?
I don't know. I'd have to dig deep, but yeah, maybe. there's a lot of interest. I don't know what Sergio was doing. He had on the brightest pants, shirt. I mean, whatever. Some of those guys are, to steal a word from Nikki, they are goobers, but they're very rich goobers at this point, especially Bryson and Sergio. But yeah, I'm with all you guys too. Like, it seemed to have died down, and to Nikki's point, that's exactly what Augusta National can do. And you were talking about Matthew Lawrence earlier. I was on his show a couple weeks ago, and like, we still don't know what LIV means in the grand scheme of things, like what their tournaments mean in terms of prestige. And I mean, that's going to take time if they stick around. But we know what the Masters means in terms of history, in terms of reputation, in terms of making a career for a player. So it seemed like that was the top priority this week, you know, as opposed to fighting with each other, despite the looks that Greg Norman was shooting through Rory McIlroy when he was playing practice rounds and stuff like that. I mean, it's still very funny to me that he couldn't get a ticket, or he wasn't given a pass. Freddie Couples from the top rope jumped in and said he'd get him a ticket next year. And that was great stuff. I enjoyed
that part of it. At some point with Greg Norman, real quick, I mean, he complained about the Open Championship that he wasn't treated with respect. Then he complained about Augusta National not treated. I mean, there's a common denominator here, Greg. I mean, at some point, someone's got to have that conversation with him. Then he goes to his son, you know, hey, Greg Jr., why don't you go on social real quick and stick up for good old dad? I don't know. I used to like the guy too, but I think that it makes me angry, honestly. I used to be a big Greg Norman fan, and long gone are the days of the Greg Norman secret. Remember that training aid, the little thing that you put on your wrist, or is that a little bit too far back? Do you guys remember that at all? No, I'm absolutely getting some blank stares.
Okay. I was trying to remember the last time I saw someone wearing a shark logo shirt or hat or anything.
There's a little boy who competed in the drive, chip, and putt, who he wears a Greg Norman straw hat to compete. And he didn't wear it in the national finals because they have to wear the national final hat. But in all of his qualifiers, he wore a Greg Norman hat. And that's in his bio. He said that was one of his favorite. And his good luck accessory was his Greg Norman hat.
And he also makes $200 million.
He's 8 years old.
Ironically enough, I was going through my closet the other day, and I actually have a PGA Championship polo from the last time it was at Valhalla. So I don't know how many years ago that was at this point, mid-2010s or whatever. And I guess I just never noticed it until the other day when I was going through my closet. It's actually a Greg Norman brand polo, you know, from the PGA of America. So I guess at some point, Greg Norman brand was even outfitting, you know, somewhat there, you know, he had his line with the PGA of America. So it is a little more ironic, a little funnier now that that polo is a Norman brand polo. And now he's basically persona non grata at this time when they're going to go back to Valhalla.
I bet you could find a lot at like TJ Maxx or a place like that. There you go.
Do they really?
Costco used to sell Greg Norman brand everything too. I think Costco at one point did. I don't know if they still do anymore, but I think you could get Norman brand stuff at Costco for a while too, back pre-Live.
Yeah. Good old Greg. You know, it's interesting with the personalities that converge onto Augusta every year. And we could say this every year, of course, you know, there are a lot of other storylines and personalities like our mutual favorite Tiger Woods. You know, it was a rough go for Big Cat. It was great to see him finish four rounds. Of course, he had a marathon day in rounds, you know, like one and a half and two on Friday. What were our takeaway from what is our takeaway about Tiger? And Nikki, I'll start with you on this. It real quick. I don't know what to feel about Tiger right now. He's going to play every major, or at least try to. I don't know if it's nice as for us as fans to see him on our televisions, but what are you thinking about his playing aspects right now, Nikki?
I've said it before and I'll say it again. Just let him be. Just let him be. Just let Tiger be what he is. Just appreciate the fact that we are seeing him play again, that we got to see him wearing red on Sunday in Augusta, that he was walking on 2 feet, that Charlie got to be out there with him on Sunday on the range, that he completed four rounds, like you said, that, like, you know, we got to see a couple cool shots out of him that, like, I mean, you know, yeah, he's not winning another green jacket. He's not, you know, hitting darts, you know, he had a couple, but he's not like every shot is, you know, just blowing you away. And like, but I mean, think about the people who grew up watching Jack, the people who grew up watching Arnie, like eventually those guys hit the same place too. They had to get to the place, like, you know, were they constantly complaining that, like, you know, Arnie's not doing the same anymore. Or like, you know, well, Jack's not doing that. You know, he's not hitting it as far as he was and blah, blah, blah. Like, who cares? He's still Arnie. He's still Jack. He's still Tiger. Like, I mean, and the respect that he commands just walking across the course, you see the crowds that follow him. You hear the roars just from a par, just from saving par, like is unmatchable to any other player. I mean, I think you heard louder roars for him saving a par than like his playing partner for getting a birdie. And like, it just, you won't ever see that again. And I think we need to just appreciate that for what it is, instead of putting these unreachable expectations on him and expecting him to, well, you know, he needs to be doing this. He needs to be doing that. He made his 24th straight cut. He played his 100th round in Augusta, like on Sunday. That's still unbelievable. He's still breaking records left and right. They may not be these massive records that we want them to be, but they're still records, and he's still Tiger. And I think we just need to let him be. Like, just let him be.
Mizuno Golf returns as another sponsor for the Golf Unfiltered podcast for 2024. We have really enjoyed partnering with Mizuno Golf because, let's face it, nothing feels like a Mizuno, and this holds true for every product in their arsenal, including their woods, irons, wedges, and anything that you put in your bag. Mizuno has long been known for their high quality and high performance, and we want to bring that to our games, and you should too. Go out to MizunoGolf.com right now to learn more about all their new products as well as how they can improve your game today. The Golf Unfiltered podcast is supported by our friends at Cog Hill Golf and Country Club. Located in Lamont, Illinois, Cog Hill features four challenging courses, including the world-famous Dubs Dread. They also boast one of the best golf academies in the state, featuring top tracer analytics at their driving range, heated bays, two bars, and so much more. Cog Hill has been a longtime sponsor of the Golf Unfiltered podcast, and we are pleased to work with them once again in 2024. Go visit their website at coghillgolf.com right now to book your tee time. We're also brought to you by our friends over at Sharp Focus Nutrition. Sharp Focus Nutrition brings everything that you need to keep playing your best from a nutritional standpoint while you're on the course. Let's face it, we probably don't eat and drink the best when we're playing golf, especially on the weekends with our buddies when we're just out there to kill some time. The folks over at Sharp Focus Nutrition have developed a step-by-step nutritional system that you can implement into your game right now to play your best. Go out to sharpfocusnutrition.com to learn a little bit more.
Yeah, very well said. Trevor, I know you're a huge Tiger fan, as we all are. Your takeaway.
Well, I mean, it's obvious that, like, his body isn't there anymore. I mean, he played fantastic on Friday. Mm-hmm. I think he hit as many fairways as he has at Augusta since 1999. The wind was awful, and he grinded one out that day, and it was cool to see. But he's just tired. He's just tired over the weekend, and that's what it seemed like. But he's also, it's cool for me to see, because all he's ever known is golf and winning at golf tournaments, being the best that he could possibly be. But he seems, you know, like yesterday, he's smoking and joking down the fairway. He's enjoying it, that part of it. Like Nicky said, Charlie's out there giving him swing tips. He's got to love that. And so that's the part of his career he's in now. I mean, he's not going to contend, certainly not, you know, maybe for a little bit at the PGA, definitely not at the US Open. I mean, I think that's going to be too tough for him. Maybe at the Open Championship, maybe. I don't know. But he's in a different place. Yeah, he can come out there and he can put some birdies on scorecard and stuff like that. But I think he's just enjoying this elder statesman kind of role that he has now, you know, taking – what was the guy, the caddy for the guy he was playing with yesterday? He was like 20 years old. He's not even like a real caddy, right? And he's showing him around Augusta National, a place he knows better than pretty much anyone on the planet, which I think is cool. And it's sad to see, but it's got to happen at some point. I mean, he's not going to be at the top of the golf world forever. But there's still so much good he can do in the sport. And it seems to me like he's kind of embracing that a little bit, which is cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Well said as well. You know, and Dan, the story, I can't wait to read the book that Neil Shipley has to write about his Sunday with Tiger. I mean, what was your takeaway watching those?
I was basing on the name.
Oh, yeah. I mean, real quick, too, going back to just we talk about how these days with Tiger, it's all about expectations. And if you look at it from not what people assume he should be doing, but what he actually can be doing right now. When the weather delay ended on Thursday morning and it was immediately clear that he was going to have to go 22, 23, 24 holes on Friday, he was plus odds to even make the cut. So nobody even thought he would make the cut at that point. And then he made the cut. Then Saturday rolls around and full disclosure, we actually went up to the woods to watch his Saturday round because where else are you going to go on Master Saturday than to Tiger's bar to watch Tiger play, right? It just seemed fitting. Mm-hmm. But as he was finishing up and you could tell he was in a ton of pain, the consensus from everybody was there's no way he's going to play Sunday. I think I texted you and a couple others over under 7:30 Eastern time for when that withdrawal announcement comes out. There's no way he's going to come and do this again for 18 again on Sunday. He did it. Not only did he did it, but he played all 18 on Sunday. He did it with Shipley, which for Shipley in itself has got to be a cool enough story, but what caught my eye even more than Shipley was Shipley's caddy. Think about that kid. That's just like, dude, hey, that's just like a buddy of his probably saying, hey, you want to come caddy for me at Augusta? The kid probably thinks, okay, cool. We'll be there Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. We're going to call it a weekend. I'll go hang out with my buddies. Then he makes the cut. Then Sunday rolls around and he's like, oh, okay, I'm going to caddy alongside Tiger Woods for 18 holes. Like, and you could tell looking at his face too, his caddy's face, you could tell he was just like, even in going up 18, he still couldn't comprehend that this is something that was real life that he was doing. More importantly with Shipley though, I want to know who he was kept looking at Butler Cabin. Like who was somebody, was somebody calling his name? Was somebody like trying to get his, what was he looking at?
Beyond just wanting to get away from,
well, maybe he was just doing that because he wanted to pretend that he wasn't in the middle of the awkwardness that was the John Rahm Scheffler interaction. But like, who was somebody trying to like get his attention? What was going on there? Not to completely go off topic, but what was happening there?
Well, wasn't there also a story about like he was handed something? Like, did that even happen? There was a note.
I guess supposedly people caught that people noticed on the coverage that he was it appeared that he was handed some sort of note on walking off of 8T by Tiger and then was asked about it in the press conference. And then he basically like looked at an Augusta National official who was like, don't answer that. I mean, that's a whole nother thing entirely for the conspiracy theorists out there. But as Adam's now looking around.
Interesting story. Yeah. Well, I'm also hearing my, the new head of security at GU, Maddie is barking. So I want to make sure he doesn't come bear anyone through the door. So it was an interesting Tiger, of course. I think you've all said it really nicely. I mean, I sum it up as I think Tiger has accepted where he's at faster than all of us, which makes sense because, I mean, he's the one that's going through it. And it is, Nikki, you said it really, really well. I mean, it's just icing on the cake at this point. It's like a gift to see him play at any point. Going back to Scotty really quick, and I don't want to be all hyperbolic here, but what he's doing is something we haven't seen since Tiger. Trevor, I think you said as much. I mean, are we in the middle now, perhaps even at the beginning of the next great in golf? I mean, that is very hard to do. And I know it's kind of annoying for sports media to always say, oh, this is the GOAT. This is the GOAT. But what Scotty's doing is absurd. I mean, where are we at right now in terms of, are we experiencing something incredible right now? Anyone take that one? Because I'm thinking we might be.
Rory should have kept his mouth shut about that mallet putter. And that is my opinion. Absolutely. If Rory wanted to win that green jacket, he would have kept his mouth shut about that mallet putter.
I will say this one too. As much as I want to say yes to that, Adam, as much as I want to say absolutely this is the next big thing, I can't just help but think back a couple years ago when we were having the same discussion about Jordan Spieth because it seemed like Jordan Spieth was never going to lose again. And he now basically hasn't won again since we said he was never going to lose again. In fact, I think it was over this weekend. If not, maybe it was last week. Somebody, and I wish I knew who it was on Twitter and I had saved the tweet, but somebody basically put a picture out on Twitter of that spring break 2012 group, the Rory, and was like, like, think about how recently this one was. And you think about at that time when that spring break trip happened, how, I mean, Spieth was on his heater. JT was right behind him. Smiley, what had at that point, was that just before, just after he had finished run, or he was in the final pairing?
He was still playing Masters. Pro golf.
Yeah, he was, well, and not hanging out with us at the PGA show. Yeah, right. And Ricky was still, you know, being Ricky and contending in top five in all four majors in the same year and everything. And now you fast forward a couple of years and you look at that entire group now where they're at. So, listen, he's on an all-time heater. He's on a heater that we have not seen probably since Tiger. You're right. But only because of just where we were a few short years ago with basically saying the same thing about Spieth. I don't know if I can say confidently yes yet. Also, he is about to have a kid. Perspective, but as we've seen with some of these guys, sometimes it ends up loosening them up and their game gets even better, and then sometimes it's they're spending more time with their new family and they don't spend as much time working on their game anymore, and then their game, I don't want to say falters, but they're not quite as dialed in as they once were anymore because they're not spending 10 hours a day on the range. So well, you know, before, I think Scotty could,
before Spieth, we were having that conversation about Bubba. And the common denominator between Bubba and Scotty is Ted Scott. So maybe it's not, maybe it's not the people. Maybe it's the caddy support. Maybe it's the support group around them. Maybe Ted Scott is actually the answer here that we're all looking for, because it's not Ted Scott is actually the fastest to four green jackets. If we're looking at the data there,
the Augusta Whisperer.
Yeah.
The Augusta Whisperer. Did you see a social post? He was like in bed with the flag. Did you see that one? Man. I mean, that's something that is a caddy.
You know what? Yeah. Now that Nikki just brought that up, it is interesting. If you do the timeline, basically after Scotty switched caddies and brought on Ted Scott, that's when all of a sudden he started this current heater that he's still on. I mean, before that, I don't know. I mean, he wasn't really anything. I don't mean it in that way. Like, I know it sounds really bad. He wasn't anything, but he wasn't amongst that list of guys that were being talked about in the way we're talking about him now. That's for sure. And now, you know, we're talking about him in the same conversation as Tiger and Rory and Bubba, even to an extent, as far as just success at Augusta goes.
Well, he's definitely proven himself. Go ahead, Trevor. Sorry.
Well, I was just going to say two things. One, I was at the Masters in 2016 when Spieth played the 12th hole, was watching that, and it was like watching a car crash. But to your question, Adam, I would answer with a different, with another question. Is the Grand Slam for Scheffler in play this year? Because I think definitely it is, which tells me that he's in that stratosphere of Tiger.
Right? Colin, like everyone was talking about yesterday, like, oh, this is Scotty's green jacket, or, oh, like this would be so great for, you know, Ludwig Aubert, you know, this, like, he'll be the first to win a major in his first appearance. And like, but I feel like no one was talking about how Colin would be one away from a grand slam. Like if he had won yesterday, he'd be one away. And like the Pinehurst is set up for Colin. Like, I mean, I feel like he would do so well at and he could have had a grand slam this year. And I don't know if we're going to see Scotty get a grand slam this year simply because he's having a baby. Like that seems I don't know. I mean, the timing of when the baby is due and then like the PGA quickly behind that. I'm not saying he's going to withdraw, but, or not compete in the PGA, but it's just very quickly, a very quick turnaround for having a newborn in your home.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. That's
mentioning Oberg really quick, and inspired Nikki by there. It's not very often. And I'm not just saying this, you make me laugh at least four times a week. Like, and my wife, Kristen, just looks over, my wife looks over at me and she's like, did Nikki say something? Yes. And it was the, oh, really? No. It was waiting for this. It just wanted something to happen where I could throw this up in the group chat. But that kid, I think he's going to be around for a very long time. There's nothing that I dislike about that dude. He plays fast. He's super consistent. And the fact that he was just kind of munching on a sandwich, like, and it was the final round and he was like four holes to play. And then, sad Ludwig when somebody knocked the, what was it? Like a Nutri-Grain bar out of his hand when he was going through the crowd. That was sad, but I like
the amount of Chipotle that kid eats. And he even ate it afterwards. If Chipotle was not like on the phone with him today, like, bro, we want to be on your bag or something, like somewhere, like we need to get this going. Like the fact that he has that, like, all, I mean, it's a hurtful loss or a tough loss. And then his answer is to go back to his rental and just get Chipotle essentially catered. Like
power move. Definitely.
Adam, I'm with you. I love his game. I love everything about him, except he's going to torment the United States in the Ryder Cup for the next,
it's over
15 years. So
that dude is a monster. Yeah, for sure. Well, I see that we're a little over our half hour mark typically. But Nikki, I want to allow you to share a little bit about your experience further. I mean, you got some coverage, girl, on Masters this week. I mean, I see what you got lined up in the hopper here. What, Augusta Instagram caught you and Logan, is that what happened?
Yeah, so we went in on, so we got to go to the Drive, Chip and Putt again this year, and this year it happened to luck out where we got enough tickets through the lottery that both sets of grandparents got to go. So so we got to take my son, and like both sides of the family were there, which is like, I mean, for me, it was like huge. And we let the grandparents just kind of stroll in through the morning with Logan and just kind of enjoy the moment while we raced the pro shop lines to try and get the gnome. While we're going through the queue, we look over and Logan's standing there and he has this tiny little like toy kind of ish camera. And it's a real camera, it works, but and he had brought that in and he's taking pictures of everything, and we look over and he has lined up my mom and dad and my husband's mom and dad, and they're like lined them up and he's like directing a photo shoot of them trying to take pictures. But behind him is one of the Augusta photographers taking a picture of him, taking a picture of all the grandparents. And so I didn't really think anything of it. I was like, oh, okay, that's cute. Until, you know, and you never know like what they're actually taking pictures of and things until we get in the car later that day and we see like multiple people had shared it to me, tagged it, me in it, sent it to me. And they had posted it on their Facebook page and on their Instagram where they had taken that picture of my son and put it up on their Facebook page, and
so awesome. And
the picture of him taking the picture and also made it even like worse for my tugging at my heartstrings by saying, you know, just a future Drive, Chip and Putt national finalist scouting out the course, which, you know, of course, then my husband was like, all right, we're going to get him a club and we got to go, like, we got to get him in the yard after today. And, you know, but I think the best part was that when I went to pull all the pictures off of Logan's camera, we actually found this picture. Okay. So he did actually take a picture of the Augusta photographer, which I thought was pretty cute. So, and then later in the week, because he also made like friendship bracelets, mm-hmm. and was handing them out to some of the other kids while they were there. And they said things like amen or azalea. And, he handed one out to, our friend Whitney, and he handed one out to Kira. We ran into Kira while we were there and he gave her one and a couple other people. And, he actually only gave them out to girls that we saw.
Good
so,
man.
He knows what he's doing already. Yeah. while he was handing them out and stuff, and so after he had handed a couple out, a photographer was like, oh, are those friendship bracelets? Let me get a picture of those. And when we went to show him the friendship bracelets, and he saw my tattoo, and he goes, that's a tattoo? Okay, yeah, I have to get a picture of those. And again, I don't know when, you know, what they do with these pictures and who has, you know, it could have just been a regular camera, I don't know. But yesterday somebody shared with me on TikTok, they said, I know this tattoo. And they sent me that's me and my son, and that's my tattoo on the Masters TikTok. So we are
worldwide.
Yeah.
You're out there. Yeah. I don't think any of us have met anyone where the Masters is as big a part of them as Nikki. That's incredible to have that opportunity and all that. And yeah, we're all going to be watching Logan on Drive, Chip, and Putt at some time. I'm sure that's going to happen.
One day, maybe. I hope so.
Yeah. All right, folks. Well, a very exciting Masters. Obviously, we got a lot of golf throughout the rest of the season. I finally was able to play golf. It's actually sunny out now, so that's always a good sign as far as the start of the golf season. Any final thoughts on the 2024 Masters? Dan, I'll start with you, and we'll just kind of do a round robin here.
It was the most exciting, least exciting Masters finish in a while because it was pretty clear that nobody was catching Scotty, but it was still incredibly fun to watch coming home anyway. And it's, you know, those last few holes on Sunday is just our yearly reminder that another, you know, 362 days or whatever it is until, we get to go back proverbially, except for Nikki, who literally gets to go back to Augusta next year.
For sure. Trevor, how about you?
Yeah, it was, I don't want to say boring because Masters isn't boring, but it was, you know, we knew it was going to happen after a couple holes in the back nine. And Scotty's just a machine. The one thing that we didn't talk about was Max Homa. And I just, every time that guy talks, or just go back and look at his quotes from the week. I mean, that dude's a star. And, you know, I know we say this about a lot of players. They'll get their major championship at some point. Not all of them can get them. I hope that Max gets that done someday. It was cool to watch him. I felt bad for him coming down the stretch. Just no one was going to beat Scotty. And then I'll end it with this. I mean, the Masters is a huge week, but it is now the week of the Hidden Creek Country Club Greencoat Masters here at my home course. I'll be out there Friday through Sunday. If I feel like it, I might post the link to live scoring, but I might also open myself up to a ton of embarrassment with that. But I just want to make everyone aware that that is this week again.
Good for you. Best of luck there. Before Nikki, I give you the final word here. Yeah, Max Homa, he had a quote. When I worry about what could go wrong, I dream about what could go right. I think that might be one of the most powerful quotes I've ever heard a professional golfer say. And I'm just going to like embrace that for everything in life. And the last thing I'll say too, and we don't have to, Rory, I don't know if Rory is ever going to win on this golf course. I don't think it's in him, but I hope that I'm proven wrong. That was the only disappointment for me this week, but I thought it was a fun tournament as it always is. Love to see Scottie Scheffler doing what he's doing. Nikki, you've got the final word.
Yeah. So obviously, I mean, you know, this tournament means a lot to me. It's hard. Like one of my best friends from college got to go for the first time this year, and she went on Monday for the eclipse, and she, you know, got the cool glasses, and she was like, it was so cool getting to see all the players like stop and just stare into the sun. And, it was, but she texted me on Tuesday afterwards and she goes, how am I supposed to work today? Like, she's like, I feel like I have a hangover, but like, I didn't drink anything. Like, this is so weird. She's like, how do you do this every year? And I was like, well, I mean, it is like that because the hangover comes from the nostalgia of it all. You're missing the place, you're missing the people, you're missing the action, but also it comes from like a yearning for the next year and for what's to come and for the, oh, maybe Rory will get it next year. Maybe, you know, Max Homa was so close. Maybe it'll be him again next year. And, you know, or maybe we'll see Scotty again for the third time. And it's all of that combines into just this like, ugh, feeling for, you know, a whole day. You know, to me, the day after Masters is worse than like that super day after the Super Bowl hangover. And unless of course you have been drinking pretty heavily, then yeah, maybe the Super Bowl hangover might be bad. Actually no, the day after Super Bowl 51 was worse for sure. But we don't have to go into that. But yeah, I'm always gonna love Augusta. I'm always gonna love the Masters, and you know, I look I always kind of look forward to knowing that like the Heritage is up next too, because you know we always go to Hilton Head every summer and it's a fun place to go. It's not Augusta, but you know it's a fun little place to travel to next. And this year, I guess the Heritage has a gnome.
There it is.
The Heritage has a gnome. Nice. And weirdly, it is more expensive than the one in Augusta.
Ooh.
It is $55, and the one in Augusta is $49.50.
If you can get it.
If you can get it, you can get it. So,
yeah. Incredible stuff. Well, we look forward to that as well as the rest of the golf season. As I mentioned, I just want to remind everyone that you can follow us everywhere on social media at Golf Unfiltered. And I also want to, of course, shout out to our partners over at Bridgestone Golf for powering the podcast. On behalf of Nikki, Dan, Trevor, thanks so much for tuning in this week. We'll be back again next week with another show. Take care. Play well if you're playing golf.
Bye.